We have returned after a very long hiatus of picking
clovers.
Things.
Fun.
Billy Joe has fashioned
a picture of this. Put it on the
yes
on the Facebook. Oh. Whole gang is still here for now.
Yeah,
and we have some questions for Ms. Cones.
So, Chris, let's lead off with this.
Your
when
shirt.
You
flowers down your shirt.
Got the giant spider all written up, did you write
spelled on my shirt.
The role of Dr. Hackett with her in mind?
No, originally it was supposed to go to someone else who dropped out, and then it kind of fell into Billy Joe's lap. And I'm actually happy that that's how it worked out. We're all very happy that's how it worked out, because I think she did a bang-up job.
So there's a story that
watching their
I want to share with Billy Joe, because I know she wasn't there for it, but there's always this discussion of amongst the production crew, we didn't know you.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we're like, I wonder if she's going to fit in, you know, whatever. So, because you had filmed a scene up in the school behind...
Yes, the first scene
the
we
The first
did
scene we shot.
With the main cast.
Right, the day that I got...
Is it recording?
Chemicals
yes
in my eye.
What?
Oh, that's right,
chemicals?
She had chemical eye.
She had chemical eye, but you didn't. You just did that shoot, and then we didn't need you again for like 2 months.
Right.
So we didn't... We only hung out with you for like a day, so it's not really a way to get to know anybody.
No, and I was really quiet that day, partially because I was like super nervous about remembering my lines, which I'm sure I didn't. And two, I had chemicals in my eye, so I couldn't wear my contacts that day, which is always disorienting because I don't ever wear my glasses. And yeah.
And you were stuck wearing your grandmother's glasses?
No, they're just vintage glasses that I happen to own. But
they had a prescription
had
in
a,
them.
They were... bifocals. They're bifocal glasses, yes, that have two prescriptions in them.
Because a lot of times between takes, you'd take them off because it was like, oh my God!
Oh yeah, I would take them off and like rest my eyes and like try to refocus because it was...
So awful. How many headaches did you have?
I don't know.
Leaving each shoot?
She
it's
did it for her
tell
art, man.
It's hard
she
to
suffered
tell when I had the chemical eye problem on the first shoot, and then the second... Was it the second shoot that was here? The second shoot where, because I think it was the one here, because then I got to know
you. Oh,
you
had that horrific cold.
I had the flu really bad, and I was so sick, and so I couldn't wear my contacts that time either, because
yeah,
I was, like, blowing my nose in between every take. It was miserable.
Yeah, if you listen really closely, you can tell that you're stuffed up a little bit. But you did a good job of hiding it in that scene. It's the last
mm-hmm
scene of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
Which we shot in
yeah
the middle
years
of
I'm
production.
Like, what did we film here that Billy Joe was... Oh.
Yeah, it was the church scene.
It was the church scene. Was
yeah, you sorry, definitely sound a little congested, but you did a good job of hiding it most
but
of
I
it.
But I didn't look especially sick. I was surprised.
No.
Because
no
I felt really bad that no day.
So when we were setting up the shoot for the college scenes and mm at her work, her former employer.
At Ruby's, yeah.
Yes. It was like, oh, I wonder, you know, this will be the first time we get to actually sit down and talk with her. And, you know, there's always that trepidation that goes into it. It's like, is she going to be cool? Because, you know, we're kind of crass people. And, you know, we say some
kinda
really, we say some rude and, you know, we just kind of throw out the bad jokes. And
I'm leaving.
She came out and she was hanging out for, you know, about 2-3 minutes. And then all of a sudden she just whipped out a crass joke on her own. And it was like, this is awesome. She kicks ass. She needs to be in more films. So.
I don't remember what I said. It was probably a story about my mom.
No, it was you. Something. Shervin was saying something naughty, like Shervin
yeah
does.
No.
And then you said, that's
no,
what
Dan
she said.
Dan Shervin is a church-going man. He would never say
what
anything.
Bull.
No.
Bullshoy.
He's a church-going man, but...
That doesn't mean he won't say the word.
The man's got some stuff to confess,
yes,
I'm sure.
But it was at that point when we all were like, Billy Joe's awesome. We
well
need
I think
to keep her in more films.
I think the reason... The moment I think I realized she kind of fit in nicely was I think she made a "that's what she said" joke.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yep.
And
nice.
I was just like, yeah, okay, she
She'll
works
do.
We made jokes about your neck.
Yes.
I don't. Where did that come from?
It was Jim Norgard.
Yeah, someone was trying an art shot, and then Jim made a dirty joke about her neck, and she was okay with that.
So
that
she became
cool
the master of neck acting.
Neck acting. Yes.
Neck acting.
So we actually made a point in the scenes in the tent. When we got the shot of the walkie-talkie thing,
yeah, yes,
to make sure that there was copious amounts of neck in
yes
the shot.
Some people Everybody might have saw mistaken that as a cleavage shot. No, there
no,
was
no
cleavage
there.
There's no cleavage there.
No, it's
all about
very
the neck
buttoned up.
Yeah.
Yes. But it was clearly demonstrating the.
And actually, if you look closely, you see her sort of like
yeah, kind of back, like yeah, exactly.
Make sure you get the telling good, her to.
Make sure you get the jugular right there. Yes. Oh yeah.
Is it sad that I actually noticed that?
No.
No. That's why you belong, Shane. Welcome to our
yes,
our, dear worthiness. Yes.
So, Billy Joe, I want to hear some stories. Tell us some stories about your experience filming.
Oh, I was just going to say, I thought maybe you guys first fell in love with me when I started drawing things on Mark's face.
Oh, that's...
That was pretty entertaining.
Because it was so much fun to use the overhead projector that, you know, I never got to use as a child because I was a child, not a teacher.
Yep.
So... It was really fun to make Mark into Hitler,
mm-hmm.
to draw a handlebar mustache on him, to draw little thought bubbles and things.
Well, I know there's a couple. If you look at the special features of the Giant Spider DVD, there's a photo gallery, and there's a couple of those that we took pictures of her. It was like thoughts of what Dr. Edwards was thinking. And actually, there was a... You had a pad and paper that you were taking down notes in that whole scene where you're trying to figure out what's the best way to attack the spider. Mm-hmm. And you wrote down a bunch of options. And one of them was like sharks with laser beams or something like that. I took a picture of that, and that's included in there too. So it's definitely buy the DVD and check
it's
it out.
Watching.
By the way, Chris, why did you not think of Sharknado first?
I don't know.
Why?
Sharknado.
Oh, on Facebook, one of my friends came up with...
it's actually going to be in the theaters.
What? Piranha?
No. Like, it's a tsunami on the prairie.
Prairie
tsunami? And I think he actually tried to get the website for it, but it was already taken.
Okay, that's crazy.
My God.
Yep. You could do Piranami. Piranami.
See, but the idea is that, so Sharknado, tornadoes don't usually happen by the ocean.
That's
what's weird about it. So it's like a tornado by the ocean, but then you have to think of what would be odd if it happened in the middle of the United States. A tsunami on the prairie would be kind of weird.
Maybe in the Mississippi or something. My question is, in Sharknado...
Never seen it, don't ask.
I mean, we're not asking everyone about Sharknado.
Do the sharks just,
features.
Like, fall on people and then they eat them and then the sharks die because they're not in water and no longer moving, or
I
what?
Know,
I think they suck them up in the cyclone and then eat them while they're in the cyclone.
Wow.
I think that's how.
Okay,
it's
Robert
to
actually
be.
Knows, so I think we'll come back to that.
Is he the only one
that's
seen it?
My theory.
Yeah, he's
well,
actually seen it, so he can
be
explain.
At actual cinemas sometime
yeah,
next week.
I think I saw they're actually
Friday
putting it in cinemas
showing.
On
yeah.
Friday.
Oh, I got crap to do.
Like there's a midnight showing all over the place. Jesus! Apparently, I'm not. My movies are not crazy enough.
You know what would be sad is if it makes more money than The Conjuring or something. You know what I mean? Or what? I don't know what's number one right now, but I thought it was The Conjuring.
Probably The Conjuring
or The Wolverine.
Which
yeah,
I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, Wolverine. Right.
You're right. It's Wolverine, then The Conjuring, and then I think
Despicable
Oddly,
though,
Me.
I thought The Wolverine was better than Wolverine Origins.
But you're the only one who thinks that.
Confused. No. It's not that bad. It's
more
very...
true to the comic books.
Yeah, and it's different. It didn't feel like all the other comic book movies, and that's why I actually liked it.
Hmm. Well, we'll see it in approximately 9 years when we catch up.
When you got,
oh, yeah. When, you were in The Giant Spider.
When,
we'll talk about that.
When you got the call from Chris or the email...
Probably an email or a Facebook message.
Something like that.
I don't call people.
What'd you think? What were you?
I'm trying to remember when it happened. It would have been last summer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was super excited because I had wanted so much to do the other one, and then it didn't happen. And then, yeah, I was like, oh, yay, finally, yay, I get to work with him. It'll be fun. Because I went to see the screening of... Because the first one I ever saw was Moon Zombies, because I went to see the screening of it at the Cinema Grill.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Because Sid was in it, and I work with her. And so I had gone to see that, and I went by myself because I didn't have anybody else who wanted to go with me. Like, I'm notoriously bad at making plans with people and being like... So, yeah, so I went to the movie and hung out. Met some of Sid's high school friends.
Yeah, I've met a couple of
those.
Said
hi to you afterwards.
Yep.
And you mentioned something about a spider movie, and I was like, ooh.
Ooh, cool. Spider movie.
Yes.
And now you're moving.
For that. And then you said something about, and I was like, oh, will there be an actual tarantula in it? And I think you said yes. But
I think we had the tarantula
at that
point.
Nobody actually got to hold the tarantula in the movie, which is unfortunate.
No.
So.
It's too giant.
Yeah.
Didn't you see the movie?
Gosh.
I did, but you know what? That tarantula could have started out as a tarantula in a lab at the college.
Well, it's actually a wolf spider. It's not a real tarantula.
Oh, let's stop.
Nice.
Because there aren't tarantulas here, so technically it's just a really big wolf spider.
Was it a wolf spider?
No, it's a tarantula.
No, it's a tarantula.
But I mean, if you want to get technical, you know, I mean, up in the upper Midwest, there aren't many.
Yeah, but if one by one by an intern.
I suppose.
Whatever.
But it was from the caves.
Right.
You know.
Sure. But there's other things in the caves.
It was Danny Johnson's pet spider he let
right.
go, yeah.
Exactly, like when people get alligators as pets.
That's right, and they flush it down.
Right. That's what happened with the tarantula.
Okay, so being in the giant spider,
mm-hmm.
every chance possible, General Castle is a complete asshole to your character.
mm-hmm.
I was waiting for this to
like
come up.
Mark more or less? Or I mean, was there any method acting at all where you're just like, that guy, I want to punch him in the face?
Not from you, from a man.
From a man.
And were you mad that you weren't at the Doctor Doctor podcast?
Was Doctor Who there?
No.
Damn. Then no.
Well, then no.
No.
Doctor Who wasn't there, I don't care. I've talked to Mike and...
If David Tennant or Matt Smith were not there, then I'd... no, it's fine. I get my own podcast. I'm here right now.
Woot!
Did I want to slap Mark? I think my character wanted to slap his character, but no, Mark... Mark and I had fun. It was like having, you know, I never had an older brother, but I had lots of male cousins who picked on me mercilessly as a kid. I mean, mercilessly. And two of them were twins, so it was like twice as bad. So it was kind of like going back to that and revisiting that time.
Doctor. Still one of my favorite line readings in that entire movie.
Doctor.
You gotta be kidding me. They give those out to anybody now.
My favorite scene with that was when he got to blow the smoke right in my face.
I was actually trying to blow it in Mike Cook's face, but...
Oh. Well, it ended up in everybody's face.
It ended up in everybody's
and
face.
And actually, my favorite part of that scene, too, is Jim Norgard's face. Because he's not acting. He was making this face like, oh my god, I'm gonna throw up. I mean, it was just...
We cleared it with everybody. I'm like, is it okay? I asked Steph, is it alright if I smoke a cigar in your house? She's like, I don't care. Chris obviously didn't give two shits either way.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Cook's like, awesome. I guess I'll just suffer through it. It's fine. But Jim Norgard, sorry, bud. I know you're going to listen to this, and I'm not throwing you under the bus. But he's like, it's not my favorite thing. I'll tell you that much.
He was very.
But he's a trooper. He took one for the team, and yeah, I got a lot of emails. Man, that really reeked.
And, well, and Mike kept getting pissed that you weren't giving it more.
He's he like, was come like, on, give me more.
Throw it in my face, you son of a bitch. Make it happen. I can take it. And you're like, I can't do
this. But I didn't want to just like sit there and like, you know, I didn't want to do that either. So I had to make it look somewhat natural. So I tried
to. It worked out. I think
I think it scene looked.
I think
looked
the.
Good.
So you went to the premiere.
Yeah.
You brought your boyfriend.
Yep.
Finally.
Brian came along. He loved that movie.
He's real.
Yeah, he
it was proof.
I met Brian.
He's an introvert. I
talked to him for about 30 seconds. He's a very nice man.
Did you?
He's gotten a little more extroverted in the past like 6 months or so, but he's definitely more of an introvert, and I am super extrovert.
Did you like the event and the final product, the final film?
Yeah, it was super fun. I thought the film looked great, and I loved, like, it's so much fun being at the premiere and getting to see how many people are so excited about it.
Oh,
you know?
I know.
Like, just to have that many people there and to have that many people be really, I mean, they're just crammed in, and everyone got their seats, and I was like, oh, wow, we should have gotten here slightly earlier. Because I think we were coming from something, and, like, either he had to work, or, I don't know, I had to get ready. I don't know. That thing happens, too. It's like... You know, like Ruby getting her toenails done, like, you know.
And they're still dead.
Like, that whole thing of...
So where did you sit? I mean, did you have a good seat, or were you, like, in the front on the right?
We were sort of front on the right, and you know what's funny about that is we were sitting there, and when the credits rolled around, you know, I'm reading the names in the credits, and I'm like, oh, what was the name now? I'm going to forget what the name was. There was a name of one of the guys that was in the movie, and there were like three people in the movie with that name, and it was a very it's a family name of mine, so I was like, huh, that's not a very common name. And the guy next to me is like, oh, that's my girls that were in there.
Oh, the
Chris
Eisensee. Yeah,
they're from Wisconsin.
Yeah, we talked about that. So I said oh, Eisensee, that's not a very common name. He's like, oh yeah, I live in Hayward or whatever. And then I said, oh, is that where you're from? And he's like, well, my dad's from, and I think he said Sparta area or something. I'm like, yep, because Ice and Seas are totally from where my family's from.
So some
from.
Distant relation?
Possibly.
Possibly.
Possibly. It was very
small
strange.
World.
Yeah, it was really very strange.
Did you sign some autographs?
No.
No?
Nobody recognized me, no.
Ah. No one ever recognized Steph. This is her great lament. No one ever recognized me.
Well, I look different when my hair's up. So, like, I've had people I know not recognize me when my hair's been up. So, my hair is up in the movie very severely.
How you've done a bunch of other local films, yes?
Mm-hmm.
How would you say the premiere of, like, The Giant Spider compared to some of the other ones you've seen?
Oh. I don't know. I haven't gone to, actually, a lot of premieres. I think I've done maybe two or three other feature-length films. So total, I've probably only been to one or two other premieres that I actually got to go to. I don't know. The only one I remember going to was at the Riverview, and you know, it was kind of about the same thing. I don't know if anybody really recognized me. I show up and I'm like, hi, I'm here.
Well, it's funny. It seems like every local premiere I've ever gone to always goes the same way. Mm-hmm. The guy comes out, the director or the writer or whatever, and they talk about the movie, and then they show the movie, and then they have a Q&A.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the premiere. Mm-hmm. Every single one.
Yeah.
And I think I purposely, from the very beginning, was like, I'm not doing that. I don't want it to be that. I want it to just be, you know,
be the
fun
what it
and
is.
Yeah. Goofy. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to talk about the movie after it's over. Yeah. I want to sell stuff and have fun.
We've had one screening at the New Cinema Grill where we did the Q&A afterwards, but that wasn't the premiere.
No.
Yeah.
That wasn't the premiere. It was the second. I think we called it like the second premiere or something.
Yeah, I've done Q&As, but I tend to just shy away from them because it's like, if you really have a question, just come up and talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gives me an opportunity to be like, hey, do you own the movie? Did you know there are seven others? You should check it out. There's a deal, you know? It's like the chance that, whoa, we got bats.
Yeah, yes,
bats,
we do.
Bats.
They're cool.
So do we have some questions from...
Yes. Also that.
Yes, yeah. We'll ask Robert about that. Apparently he eats bats, so...
What?
And by the way, Robert, this is a great fire. You're doing a good job. In fact, I'm going to take a picture of it.
You've eaten bats?
It's a very nice fire. It's very nice.
There can't be much meat on them.
No, that's why women are not allowed to eat them. So the men don't have to share them.
Okay.
It's the Ozzy Osbourne Culinary School.
Weird.
Okay.
All right.
Ruby.
So we have a question from Peter Flynn.
Space. Welcome to Peter Flynn's Corner.
So, in a 1950s drive-in movie war between the robots and the aliens, who would win? Would the robots and aliens wipe each other out and leave the meek, the humans, to inherit the Earth? Or would there be nothing left but radioactive smoldering ruins? Go.
What kind of aliens and robots are these?
Yes.
1950s.
Oh. Any kind you want to talk about?
I don't know. See, I'm an optimist. I like to hope that, you know, they just immediately wipe each other out and how about...
So
I
then
like,
the meek inherit the earth.
Yes.
All right.
I like the idea that somehow the aliens... no, maybe I don't like this idea. Never mind. I came up with an idea, and then I'm like, no, wait, that's bad. That's
never
really
self-edit
bad.
On a podcast.
No, I know. Especially because nobody can hear my thoughts. My thought was that if the aliens somehow co-opted the robot technology and took it for their own to increase their own technology and use them against... But then I was like, oh, no, wait, but then they'll use it against the humans, and then we'll be enslaved. Okay, I guess we're screwed.
All right, we're screwed.
That's it. We're
Thanks,
screwed.
Peter. All right. what public domain novel or story would make a good basis for a future Mimiverse project?
I would like to see... Do you have a list of public domain items?
Yes, all of them. Go.
I would like to see a somehow futuristic version of The Mask of the Red Death. Because it's one of my favorite Poe stories ever. Or The Raven, one of the two. Whichever one were easier to do. Probably The Raven.
Very good. And because you said you'd seen at least some of them, what is the most important Mimiverse film ever made?
Most important?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say The Giant Spider.
All right.
You're allowed.
And why?
You're allowed.
Because, well, because we're all in it.
Right on.
And, nice. Except for Robert, right? And
I'm not.
And Shane.
Because, oh,
I'm here too.
Sorry, intern. Are you working on my dress?
sorry. I'll get back to work.
Fingers to the bone, kid.
Yep,
fingers to the bone.
Picking wildflowers. And also because the spider special effect technology has come a long way.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
And because Shannon's accent was great. That's another reason.
How'd you feel about having to play Shannon's mom?
Fine. It's like a weird time travel sort of thing. I mean, because I wasn't playing
you
Zeta's
weren't not mom. In that film. No, you weren't playing Zeta's mom.
No,
but
no.
A character that was introduced in Attack of the Moon Zombies.
Right.
You played.
No, I'm fine with that.
Character's mother.
I'm just happy I got to be in a film with her finally.
Awesome, awesome. And then the last Peter Flynn question for the night for you. Who would play you in a Hollywood adaptation of a story of the Mimiverse?
Ooh. Oh, in a Hollywood adaptation of the story of the Mimiverse. Oh, that's really hard, because there's a lot of actresses I don't like. And the ones I do like aren't necessarily, like, really good actors.
Doesn't matter. Please. It's the good, bad movie.
Okay, then I would
like to go to Chanel. That's the story of the
Mimiverse,
so.
Ooh.
To dye her hair blonde again and play me.
Very good.
Totally stoned, though. She has to play me. Because I
she
saw
has
her
to be stoned, or you have to
no, she
be
has
portrayed
to be
as stoned.
No, she has to be stoned to
okay.
play me
okay.
because I've seen her. I think she's great in New Girl, but in everything else she does, she always looks a little bit or a lot bit stoned.
Awesome. All right, Miss Deschanel, give us a call.
I love her.
Which Mimiverse films have you seen?
House of Ghosts and Giant Spider and the Attack of the Moon Zombies. I haven't seen the other ones.
What do we have to do to make this happen?
I have to borrow copies of them from someone.
There you go.
You have to buy them on SaintEuphoria.com.
Well, I would like to see the one that I was originally auditioning for.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
You know, because
then Billy Joe would be like, I would have killed that role. I would have crushed it. I can't believe you cast her.
I just remember reading the script and I loved the Paddle Girls. I thought the Paddle Girls were so funny. Like, all the little jokes were just super fun.
They're very cute girls.
Yeah.
So that is a tie-in to one of my new favorite things. Even though Mike Mason let us down, I have made taglines. We have a segment we call Match the Tagline to the Movies. Here is a list of the names of all of the movies. Mm-hmm. And because there's two of you, you get to choose which set you want. Just point at the one, because I have to keep this. Okay, so you want that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there's your list. Mm-hmm. Each one is used one time.
Okay.
Which one has the tagline, your mom can't save you from?
Terror from Beneath the Earth.
They think you're alone now. That was your Tiffany joke for the day. Sorry. I mumbled.
Cave Women on Mars.
Take the kids to the drive-in, but cover their eyes.
Attack of the Moon Zombies.
You won't be able to hold your Cheetos when you are watching.
The Monster of Phantom Lake.
Which has the tagline, the end result is fear?
It came from another world.
How about, apparently they're crunchy?
Giant Spider.
Nice.
There's two left.
That's the best.
Which ones haven't I used? I have no idea.
Okay.
Okay.
They hide in boxes in your basement.
It's either House of Ghosts or Destination Outer Space.
Oh, no. Destination Outer Space.
They do.
So the tagline is, it will change your life in an unbelievable way.
House of Ghosts.
All right.
You will.
Thank you for playing. Match the tagline to the movie.
I'm not very good at that game, apparently.
No one is. That's the whole point.
Pimp yourself.
I can't really do anything right now. I'm actually not. I don't have any projects coming up. And both of my summer projects fell through. Three of them, four of them, for film stuff. So instead, what I'll say is, if you want to know what I have coming up at any point, check out my website at www.billyjoecones.com.
K-O-N-Z-E.
Yes, my name is spelled B-I-L-L-I-E-J-O-K-O-N-Z-E.
Billy Joel Conzie.
You're never going to get that.
And be sure to send your stuff to St. Euphoria so Chris can pimp you too.
You also have a Facebook actress page, yes?
Yes, I have an actress Billy Joe Cones on Facebook page as well.
Awesome.
Which I update a little more often with fun photos of places I've been auditioning and things like that, or random questions about the universe. But the thing that I'd like to pimp is I work for a theater company, a theater dance company, and I'm their administrative and marketing person. And they got a tour coming up. Every summer they take professional theater and dance productions that are family friendly to garages around the metro area in the suburbs. So they take theater to people's neighborhoods and they perform in people's garages. And this year they have a show called The Picnic, which is about a bird and a dog that fall in love. And the set is really cool. It changes throughout the whole thing. And it's a really fun little show, and you should go check it out. They have performances in 7 different places this summer, starting Labor Day weekend. And you can find out about that at www.offleasharea.com. Off leash, like as in a dog park.
Super fun!
They like dogs. Yeah.
There's another thing that we were talking about maybe starting this month and from this point forward, which is, do you have any cool recommendations for stuff? Is there a movie you really like you want think people should pay some attention to? Is there an album you've purchased recently that you really liked? Is there... Yes, albums. That's what people used to buy.
Before the internet.
Before the...
I used to buy cassette singles, thanks.
Cassette singles, baby.
Cassette singles.
You know, anything. A show that you saw locally that you were, like, blown away by, you'd like people to go check out. Anything.
Yeah, the only thing... I've been reading a lot this summer, and I pre-ordered a signed copy of Neil Gaiman's new book, The Ocean at the End of the Lane. And the reviews for it weren't, like, super great like some of his other books, but I thought it was just a beautiful summer novel. It was all about a kid who... Well, it's about a guy going home for a family member's funeral, and he starts remembering this summer that he had where he met these people that lived at the end of his road. And, it's hard to explain, but there's sort of some mythological sort of paranormal type things that happen, and it's a beautiful sort of examination of that time of your life, like when you're about, say, 10, and things all sort of seem magical, even things that are bad.
So is it getting sort of bad reviews because it's not crazy enough for the hardcore fans?
Yeah, I think the reviews that have been not entirely positive have probably been because it's not as out there, but I mean, come on, these people are like possibly fairy folk, you know? Hmm. I mean, it's still definitely a Neil Gaiman book. It's just maybe not, it's a little more serious than some of his other stuff. It's not comical. Hmm. Like, some of his other books are very comical.
Lost some of the whimsy.
Well, the sad thing about...
are very serious.
The sad thing about Neil Gaiman is that he'll always be remembered as the guy who wrote Sandman, the comic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think he'll ever escape that shadow.
I think the hardcore fans, though, don't think of him that way so much. I think people who don't get it maybe will.
I never read Sandman, so I don't know. I've read a lot of his...
He's been all over the place lately, though.
True.
Or American Gods, I guess. Yeah.
The American Gods is also kind of serious. I mean, it's got a little bit of humor in it, but it's pretty serious. Whereas the Anansi Boys is like super just comedy. I mean, that's almost like Good Omens, but maybe not quite as comedic as Good Omens. You know,
isn't the guy who wrote that one thing for that show in Britain?
Yes.
What
for the also BBC that. Or whatever?
Yeah,
he writes some Doctor of What? Doctor Who.
That was a joke.
Doctor What?
Some Doctor Show. Marcus.
Although
Welby,
the last
MD
one he
something.
Wrote, I was not particularly fond of.
Which one was that?
The one with the carnival, or whatever.
Spoilers, spoilers. We haven't seen it yet.
It was like spoilers. One of the last episodes of the last season.
Spoilers. I gave up on Doctor Who.
So it wasn't so great.
Okay, anyways.
I'm joking. We have Lord, of course I've seen it.
We have one more segment for Miss...
people who haven't.
We have one more segment for Miss Billie Jo Cones.
Yes, what's that?
It is called 30 Seconds of Random.
Yay!
Sweet.
All right, so...
Okay.
What we do is we ask you 30 seconds of rapid-fire questions. Mm-hmm. You have to answer them truthfully.
Okay.
You have to answer them fastfully.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Is that even a word?
Hey, I speak good.
It is now.
Fantastic.
And, you speak goodfully.
I do speak. I speak wellfully. and sorry. When we are done, we shall never speak of these things again. Are you emotionally prepared for 30 seconds of random?
I think so.
Let me check to make sure it's 30. Yes, it is. Are you ready, babes?
I am good to go. Who's going first, love?
Why don't you?
Fantastic.
In 3, 2, 1.
Who is your favorite death metal singer?
Lead singer of Metallica, I guess. I don't know.
Do you prefer too hot or too cold?
Too hot.
Do you really want to hurt me?
Yes.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
What's the best state in the Union?
Wisconsin.
What's your favorite incarnation of water?
Water.
Do you think I'm awesome?
Yes.
Who's your favorite old school rapper and why?
Oh, I don't know.
Pickles.
Oh, sorry. We are done with 30
pickles
seconds.
Pickles or what? Pickles or what?
The world will never know. We shall never speak of these
damn
things again.
It.
Thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast. Billie Jo, you are a pleasure.
Thank you.
You are dismissed.
I couldn't think of any old school rappers.
We are not talking about these things anymore.
Nope.
No talking.
MC Pickle.
MC Pickle. He was my favorite.
Pickle clown.
All right, so everyone please keep an eye on SaintEuphoria.com for the curious goings-on of Miss Billie Jo.
Sign up for the newsletter, too,
because
Chris always...
And buy the movies.
...does a good job of
Make sure people know that it's out. Join the Facebook page for the Bonfire Podcast.
Sometimes we put stuff up, at least twice a month.
I promote it.
We did.
You guys don't.
Nope.
Stay tuned for part 3 where we take a quick little...
We break down the sexiest man in the Mimiverse.
That's what I'm saying.
Robert.
Billie Jo, thanks again for coming.
Thank you, Mark.
Much appreciated. You're the best. Stay tuned for part 3 with Robert Celine, Dr. Hewer, and my good buddy X.